my friend R.T. Kendall,
who's preached in our church a few times, says there were two Irishmen, two Englishmen, two Scotsmen, and two Welshmen that got stranded on an island. He said 30 years later, they came back to see how they were doing. The two Irishmen still fighting World War III. Two Scotsmen had started a bank. The two Welshmen had started a choir. The two English guys were waiting for somebody to introduce them. Lovely to see you. I'm from South Africa, where your English 2020 World Cup squad comes from. The opening batsman, your number two, when they both go out, the number three and four come in. It's ridiculous. It is an incredible, incredible privilege for me to be here. I really don't take it lightly. We have been preparing extensively for this time. I'm not a typical preacher where you have four sessions and we just want to see God minister and move. I want to see God touch people. I want to see God put courage back into men, take their rightful place as sons of God. They treat their wives properly. They will work well if they work for themselves. They will work well if they work for unsaved people. That's what I want to see happen on the face of the earth. And Joel, and to the elders of CCK, incredible. I know it's a risk for you to have me here, but it's a big risk. Yeah, it's a very big risk. But it's I'm a friend of NFIs. I said to one of the guys, I'm not part of NFI. He said, "Woo, what are you doing here?" The guys from the what region? The Ager region. Ader region. I had breakfast with the Ader region. Very exclusive bunch. The Ader region. I like them. Paul, Keith, Martin, and all that lot. It's good to meet you guys. But it's an incredible privilege to be here. Terry Virgo has preached in our church many times. He's a man that I hold with the utmost respect and honor. He's been an incredible blessing to us. 2 years ago, I came across to the Brighton conference when Mark Driscoll was here. I met Joel. We met again in Seattle. And so we really know about your church. We've been blessed by your church. In the early days when you were sending Terry by faith, you were sending him to people like us that we really, really benefit from in the most amazing way. So I want to thank you for that. And I come here as your friend. PJ Smith is one of my dear friends. We're trying to take South Africa for Jesus. And I'm a husband of one wife. Her name is Melanie. We don't have women elders in our church, which makes me your friend. I have four children, and our last child was born at 11 pounds. Natural birth, and after that I decided I needed an epidural, or I'll stop having children with immediate effect, which is what we did. So I'm the father of four children, the husband of one wife. My family send greetings. I've just spoken to my little boy. He's just won his rugby match at home, which is very, very exciting. And we're going to do something. It'll come in during the course of these next few sessions, called From Bastard to Conqueror. We got PJ Smith to come and do our men's camp, and he spoke on the book of Ruth. So the fundamental difference between us is in the titles of the way we talk. But I'll explain a little bit to you in a moment. But and I trust by the end of it you will realize that in Christ we are conquerors. And yet when I travel around the world, it seems such an offensive word. I don't mean to be offensive. It's in the New King James Bible. In the Hebrews chapter 12, it says, if you do not get disciplined, you're a bastard. And I've seen so many men who profess Christ but won't come under his discipline, won't come under his protection, won't come under submission of leaders, carry all sorts of illegitimate things on them. And I want to make sure that we deal with illegitimate things. That is, men of God saved by Christ with a completed work upon our lives, we don't live with illegitimate attachments onto our lives. That we start our Christianity as conquerors and that we live in that place, not rah-rah, but by truth. You see, if we don't take something theologically, if we don't take a truth theologically, We have to work it out relationally. And that's why pastors and leaders get so exhausted. Because that truth taken theologically doesn't always need a relational backup. I'm a son of God theologically. If I live with an insecurity, I constantly have people needing to build my confidence up so that I feel important and feel worth. We have to get to the place where actually we take it theologically, we believe it theologically, it becomes part of us, and we don't always look for external experiences. See, what theology does is theology gets inside of me and I live it outward. So it's inside of me and I live it outward. A theophany is an experience where God's got to constantly touch me. And it does happen, but where God's got to constantly come and minister to me from the outside. That's why people get so tired. You see, psychologists have elevated the individual to a place where God never had him. Now, individuals are important, but outside of the Nicodemus at night in John chapter 3 and the woman at the well in John chapter 4, which is just Jesus being incredibly clever and showing us how powerful he is, that he can minister to a man in the middle of the night, he can minister to a woman in the middle of the day, he can minister to a religious man and an irreligious woman, he can minister to a moral man and an immoral woman. It's just Jesus saying, this is how good I am. This is actually what I can do. But outside of those two people, he never ever meets with individuals, ever. He always meets with groups of people. Because the healing and the faith was our Father who art in heaven, not my Father who art in heaven. And so what's happened is a psychologist has elevated the individual to the place where he can always demand one-on-one time with the pastor. And we've got God's leaders getting exhausted from that process instead of giving themselves to the vision and the mission that God wants for us to project his kingdom into Brighton and beyond. Amen. Amen. So three things happen to me when the Word of God comes. Three things take place. Whenever a man gets up to preach or somebody gets up to prophesy, three things take place. The first thing, Isaiah chapter 40 says this, every mountain must be laid low and every valley must be lifted up high so that the glory of the Lord can come, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You know that scripture? So when the Lord speaks, two things happen. Mountains come down and valleys come up so that the glory of the Lord can come. The glory of the Lord is the character of God. The problem with us, friends, is that some of us here in this room are mountain people and some of us here are valley people. My problem is that I was a mountain man. Everything I've done excessively. I talk too much, I laugh too loud. So God's dealings with me, unfortunately, have been humblings. So when God's word came to me, it had to knock the mountain down. But you see, the problem, friends, is between my excessive character and the glory of God, the Word of God actually has to give access to get me to the place where His glory can shine through my life. You with me? Every time the Word of God comes, He's doing these things. The other thing is that He lifts up the valleys. So I married a valley girl. I'm a mountain man. I married a valley girl. And somewhere in between is the glory of Jesus. Please listen carefully. Some of you are like that. Some of you married mountain women and you are valley men. But unless the mountain comes down and the valley comes up, the glory of God never ever shines. So what had to happen is God had to silence me a little and he had to lift my wife up to the place where God's glory could come in our marriage. It's exactly the same in this room. Some of you are so shy and you'll just hang back so everybody else can speak. Unless you get to the glory line, you'll never impact like God wants you to impact. Make sense? So we hope as we share these things, it builds some of you up and it'll knock, unfortunately, some of you down as it did with me and constantly does with me. I'm not talking about grace. I'm talking about reflecting Christ. The second thing that the Word of God does, it says in Isaiah 30, it says, if you move to the left or the right, there'll be a voice behind you that says, this is the way, walk in it. When the water, every one of us has got a drift. Some of us have got a drift to the left, some of us have got a drift to the right. If you look at Luke chapter 15, the prodigal God or the prodigal son, one son had a drift towards licentiousness and the other one had a drift towards legalism. There's only one street mentioned in the whole Bible, in the New Testament. What's the street's name? Straight Street. It's the street that Paul got saved on. It's a picture of what the apostolic does. It always brings you back to the straight road. So he got saved on Straight Street and his whole life, whether he was writing to the Corinthians or writing to the Galatians, his whole life was to bring them back to the straight road. Everyone has got a drift. Come back to the straight road. The third thing that the Word of God does is it kicks us out of cycles. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, and said, go to the great city of Nineveh. Where did Jonah go? all the way around, 2 years. I don't know how many years. Long way. Lots of, 2 years is my story. Boats waving, thrown over, all the way around. Came back to the same point. What did God say? Exactly the same thing. It's the most incredible thing. Sometimes when you say God's not speaking to me, you just got to ask this question. What did he say to you last? Yeah? I don't speak about money often, but I am going to speak about money while I'm here and at your church tomorrow. But I won't take up an offering afterwards, so you won't feel manipulated. You'll have a week to think about it. Because part of living on the top of the hill is living generously. But I spoke on finances once. A man was in our church, and I've led the church for 15 years. I think I've spoken on finances 4 or 5 times. But I spoke on tithing, and this guy got so cross with me, and he got upset with me, and he took his family out. Said, all these guys ever talk about is money, 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 money. I hadn't spoken for about 3 years on it. So he stormed out the church for 2 years. He went around a cycle of incredible hardship in his marriage and his business, and all the way around. And 2 years later, he decided to come back to the church. To our church. What did I speak on? God's very clever, isn't he? Spoke on money. I spoke on tithing. A 2-year process. Hadn't spoken about it. Because what God's word does, it kicks us out of cycles. Because what they did in the desert, an 11-day journey took 40 years. It went round and round and round and round. See, so many Christians, they're saved, they've come out of Egypt, they've gone through baptism, and they do this. They go round and round and round and round and round. And God provides manna and quail, and manna and quail, and manna and quail. Imagine you came home and your wife gave you chicken and veggies. Chicken and veggies. What's for chicken and veggies? 40 years later, chicken and veggies. It's like, ah! You've got to kick out of that thing somewhere. And so the Word of God kicks us out of that. Stops us going around in cycles. Helps us go forward. I trust that we can do some of those things over this next weekend. Just a few things as we talk about Jesus, we talk about sonship, we talk about God the Father. So God so loved the world that he? Say it again. God so loved the world? Okay, let's stop it short. God so loved the world that he? God so loved the world that he gave. I've seen so many gracious people, but I don't see generous people. I looked across the body of Christ, and one of the things that desperately concerns me is the generosity of God's people. Because God so loves the world that he gave. I'm not talking about money. I'm just talking about generosity. I'm talking about a flow in our lives, a generousness with our words, a generousness with our time, a generousness with our resources. I see young Christians who are starting businesses that are just absolutely dying for somebody to be generous with their time. And people are so busy and consumed in their own worlds. We have got men in our churches that are so educated and so experienced and so resourceful, and they worship Jesus, who gave his life for them, but they don't give anything away. And I want to speak a little bit, friends. I want to start this meeting by giving you a few gifts. Because I believe when I was praying once before a trip to America, and God gave me that scripture. He said, God so loved the world that he gave. He said, son, will you go to America, and instead of asking for anything or expecting anything, will you go to America and just give them gifts? Because that's what I do. Every gift you've got, whether it's a worship gift, whether it's a sound mixing gift, every single gift has been given to us by God. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. It's a gift from God. That's an amazing thing. And I went to America and I bought a whole lot of gifts. Got the list of names, as I have all your names on a list. And we've been praying for you by name before this time. Every single one of you has been prayed for by our whole team by name. And I prayed and I called a lady to the front. And I said, I believe God wants to give you something, $100 US. And as I put the $100 US into her pocket, the Spirit of God filled her, hit her, took her right under. She was baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. She was a wealthy woman. She had her own business. She was highly successful. She didn't need the money. She just needed to know that God was generous. Because she had her whole life, she had battled to make it. And she finally made it. But she never knew that God gave. And so I want to give you some gifts this morning. Just a few of you. Can't give them to every one of you. But I want to start that this time saying, God gives. And God wants to give some of you courage. And God wants to give some of you hope. And some of your marriages that are absolutely desperate, God wants to give you a flicker and a fire back again. I was in a church one day, and a man, a multimillionaire, who didn't know Jesus, wrote down on a piece of paper,
He said, I'm successful. I've made money my God. I want to die. What should I do? And he had two arrows, death or life, and he had a gun next to him. And he phoned a friend in England. He said, what do I do? He said, you must go to Glenridge Church. The man arrived at Glenridge Church, and as he got out of the car, as he put his foot in the car park, the Spirit of God said to him, you're home. He came, he got saved on that Sunday. That week he went to our foundations course, spoke on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit baptized him. He went under the power of God, and he heard the scripture, I lifteth upeth my eyeseth to the hilleth, whereeth doeseth my helpeth cometh frometh. My helpeth cometh frometh the Lord, who watcheth this over me, and doesn't letteth my footeth slippeth. He had not set foot in a church for 40 years, but when he was 4 years old, his grandfather took him onto his knee, and he said, my son, your parents might never take you to church, but I'm going to read a psalm over you, Psalm 121, in the King James Version. Psalm 121. 40 years later, when he came to the crisis of his life, where he said, do I live or do I die? The Word of God, 40 years later, says, I will watch over you or protect you. And 40 years later, that one word that his grandfather spoke over him had enough power to rescue him. And since that time, friends, since that man told that story, watches have been an incredibly important thing for me. Because every time I look at my watch, I know that there's somebody greater watching me. And I've seen watches come and watches go, and men out of nowhere walk up to me and give me watches. I've been given watches worth £10,000. Just people walk up to me and they come, and then he tells me to give them away, and they flow. Because God is watching over you. And some of you right now are thinking, "Can do you know me, Lord?" God can pick any one of you out of a crowd like this because he's watching you. He knows you. He knows your circumstances. He knows your situation. He knows about your children. He knows about your finances. He knows everything. He's watching you. And so as I do this demonstration of giving some watches to people, it is a prophetic statement of two things. One, God gives, and he's given to your church incredibly. And this church has given to the nations incredibly. We are the benefit of Terry Virgo and NFI in the most amazing way. And we say thank you. My challenge to you is don't stop giving. Increase it. And the second thing is, I give some watches. I believe God is watching your church and speaks love over your church. But there's a new season for your church, a new season of victory, a new season of a new battle. And I can give, so you understand the process. Is that okay? Joel, are you getting worried about the prophetic ramblings? Don't worry, it's all come together. I preached the word just now. Got to see which watches they are. You might not like them. You like it, Joel?
Yeah.
You like it?
Yeah.
That's what I felt God say to you. I felt there are two scriptures for you. The first one is in 1 John chapter 2. It says, I write to you, dear children, for you have known the Father, and your sins have been forgiven. I write to you, fathers, for you have known me who is from the beginning. I write to you, young man, because the word of God lives inside of you, and because you are strong, and because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because your sins are forgiven. I write to you, fathers, for you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because the word of God lives inside of you, and you are strong, and you have overcome the evil one. I believe, Joel, that there's been a multi-generational mix in the life of your church. There are some people that God is sending to you. The new converts are going to be coming in. There's going to be an inflow of new converts into the life of your church that will know the Father and they will know forgiveness, and it's going to create an incredible hype in the life of your church. There's always going to be this incredible tingle of new life in the life of your church. And then you've got a group of men who are fathers who have known God who is from the beginning. So they've seen good times and they've seen economic crisis and they've seen building projects and they've seen apostolic teams flowing. And those men are also going to be part of the church. But I feel that there's a mandate coming upon the young men of your church. And when I say young men, I'm not talking about age specific. I'm just talking about men that God wants to fight. He wants men to overcome the evil one. I believe God is going to raise you up to be a preacher extraordinaire. That you're going to have a voice that is going to be international in its profile because the word of God lives inside of you. You are going to win incredible battles for people. As your Father has won battles for you to live in freedom, I believe those battles are past. There are new battles for you to fight for a whole generation of people to live in freedom. I believe, Joel, that God is going to raise around you a Gideon army, an incredible Gideon army. Men and women that know what's going on around them, that don't stick their faces into the water and lap water. They will kneel down on their knees and they'll take water to their mouth so that they'll know exactly what's going on around them. But I believe that God's going to raise up men that will shout, a sword for the Lord and a sword for Gideon. A sword for the Lord and a sword for CCK. A sword for the Lord and a sword for the elders of CCK. A sword for the Lord and a sword for Joel. That God is going to raise up a new army around you that will protect you and will hold your back, but also prepare to fight for the next part of ground that God wants over Brighton, but way beyond Brighton. It's far wider than that. You're going to appeal to men's minds and you're going to appeal to men's hearts as you fight that battle. I believe that men will have their hands full with torches and with trumpets, and you're not going to have men moan and say, oh, but we are so busy, our hands are full. I believe men are going to say, Joel, give me something to do because I want to count for the kingdom of God. I want to make a difference for the kingdom of God. I believe that the time has come, and that's why you have that watch. The time has come for the next phase of your lives. I believe it is with Gideon, there were three companies of men. I believe your church will be known by three companies. There will be three different divisions, and you will be the leader of one, but you'll be the leader of three, but you won't always necessarily have to be in the other two. Those two groups, even if they don't have contact with you, will support your leadership in the most amazing way. I believe that God is going to raise up men who will know how to play team at night, like in Gideon's army. In the middle of the night when we couldn't see each other, sometimes we couldn't find each other or hear each other, that you're going to have men who will play team with you in the most amazing way. What's up? Dave. You don't wear watches, eh? That's what you told me this morning. Is this okay? You with me?
This is very good.
Is it? This is good. You don't have to wear it if you don't wear watches.
Okay. Yeah.
Lift your hands. You're an extremely generous man. An extremely generous man. I feel that you're so liberal. You're liberal with your words. You're liberal with your time. You're liberal with your love. Amazing thing. Amazing thing. I feel the Lord has spotted you out of a crowd. And says, son, this is a gift for you. I've been watching you. I've been watching you. Watch how you take care of people. Watch how you speak to people. I feel God say you've also been a generous man. So God say, I will go ahead of you on your travels. I'll go before you. I will open doors and I will give you supernatural divine meetings. You will know that you will know that you will know that your Father has gone ahead of you. I prophesy Psalm 139 over you. If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, if I go to the far side of the sea, you're with me. And then it says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made in my mother's womb. Not only God going ahead of you, but he's got a specific task for you and a specific plan for you. And I believe the Father blesses you today.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bless you. Thank you very much.
Bless you too. You want me to put it back in the bar? You can sort that out. It's fun, eh? It's like Christmas. Where's that young guy Nathan? He sat next to me last night outside. Where is he? Got saved a week ago. You come here, buddy. praying for you this morning. So excited to hear about your salvation. Because that scripture that I shared with Joel, so it's an amazing thing where God sends young people into the church and old people that have just given their lives to the Lord and made right with God. But I had an incredible picture of coming back here in 10 years' time or meeting you somewhere in 10 years' time. And you will say to me, Rory, the Lord has been watching over me. And it won't always just be easy times, and there'll be dry times and good times and incredibly fruitful times and some tough times. But when you look at this watch, you know this is just a very, very small sign of a very, very big God who knew that you'd be here today. He knew that this church, he would have planted this church if it was just for your life. It's how much he loves you. It's how much he cares for you. I feel God say, you stay free. As Joel prayed last night, just stay free. Don't do what everybody else does. God's given you a DNA, and he knit you together in your mother's womb for an incredible purpose. You're going to bring a lot of joy to this church. It'll bring a lot of freedom to people. And you're going to see people getting saved. But this is a blessing, I believe, from our Father in heaven to you, Nathan. God bless you, bud. Now it's finished after this. We're going to have tea. What's your name? I can't even remember. Matt. Come up here, Matt. What's your surname?
Davis.
Matt Davis, eh? Do you like watches? You're the part-time elder, or full-time, part-time?
Full-time elder.
Part-time businessman.
You got it.
Fantastic. You work with that guy?
We do.
See, you both got watches. Father, I thank you for this man. Yeah, just receive. A smile of heaven over you now. Just receive. Lord, I pray from inside here will flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. Just receive. Don't pray. Thank you for the gift of life over this man, Lord. For the gift of joy over this man, Lord God. Incredible stature God has put over you, Matt. Incredible stature. I believe God gives you the ability to speak to children and to speak to important people. It makes no difference to you. You speak with honor and you speak with grace. I see men in ties and men in suits and men in rags. I feel God say, I've called you to pull people together like a matchmaker. You'll know what people to put into what home groups, giving you divine wisdom for those things. Father, bless this man. In Jesus' name. Amen. Close your eyes if you don't mind. Jesus, we started by singing of your saving grace. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Oh Lord, it's so embarrassing giving a few gifts, but hopefully it represents something of your heart towards this church. Lord God, that you speak love songs over this church. You speak words of life and words of future and words of inheritance. You speak to the young men of this church, Lord, whatever age that might be, there's a new battle to be fought. There's a new piece of ground to be taken, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, you would breathe courage, especially over Joel, Father God, at this time, Father, and this leadership team of elders and deacons. And I pray, Lord God, that we would live as conquerors. Open our hearts, Lord, to receive more of the truth in the next session. I ask, Lord God, you would seal what's done here this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen.